Zechariah 3, and our first reading, verse 6. But, let me give you a review of verses 1 through 5. That happened for a moment. A few weeks back, we considered this passage. In fact, I think it was just last week. Joshua the high priest is seen in the plain vision standing before God, and he's in close encounter. And Satan, the adversary, is standing there ready to condemn him, to accuse him. And then the Lord himself says, Satan, you be rebuked. And we find out that God uses as justification for rebuking Satan the sovereignty of his choice of the nation of Israel, which we perish. We are grand struck out of the fire. How old is your golden woman? It's wrong. A man that is broken home is driven at him and is much more. Let it be filled with fear. Carol, Zechariah cries out to the king, my book upon his head. And so, that is what we do. The angel of the Lord is standing by. Now, verse 6. Understand that you have Joshua before and Joshua after. Now, Joshua is clothed in clean clothing, and his sin, his iniquities are taken away as representative of the nation of Israel. And let's see what follows. Verse 6. And the angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, if I will walk in my ways, and if I will keep my charge, then thou also shalt judge my house, and shalt keep my court, and I will give it, for they are men that are assigned. For behold, I will bring forth my servant a branch. For behold, the stone that I set before Joshua, upon one stone of seven eyes, behold, I will engrave the engraving thereof, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, shall ye invite every man his neighbor under the sun and thunder the victory. The greatest contradiction is to have the high priest in prescribed clothing, immaculately clean, signifying what he should be in the sight of God, but then in his heart there is violence and corruption and uncleanness. That is the condition of the high priest, Annas and Caiaphas, in the days of Christ. When it comes to Passover or at the Day of Atonement, they would go with that clean and immaculate clothing, proper clothing. On other occasions, we have just asked, we have those that are vile in their clothing on the outside, but they're clean on the inside. Think of that young son in Luke 15 that had been in a far country feeding swine, and when he came to himself, he said, I will arise and go to my father. And so already the change had taken place. But when he got home, God said, I'm going to dress you outwardly, the way that you are inwardly. Now, think on this. Here is Joshua, the high priest, and what he actually was, and what all men actually are sinners standing before God in filthy clothing.
righteousnesses are as filthy rags as a filthy garment. So that's how we are before God. But what happened is this. The Lord forgave Joshua. His iniquity was removed and clean garments are put on. So think of that. Now, we have two things corresponding. If God says, your iniquity is taken away, and the vile clothing is removed, and clean clothing is put on, then there is a correspondence of what the man is on the inside and what he is on the outside. Because the contradiction is this. Today, you have many young women who get married in white, their bride. That white speaks of purity, but it's a contradiction of what they are on the inside. They're not pure. They've been defiled, but they put on these garments as a contradiction. That is why in the coming days, we, as the bride of Christ, having been cleansed, God is going to adorn us with fine linen, the righteous acts of the saints, and we shall be outwardly and inwardly as we should be. But until that time, in one sense, we are clean on the inside and clean on the outside, but in another sense, being clean on the inside and the outside, picturesquely, God says, now, practice that cleanness. I want to illustrate this. Don't lose your place. Return to Colossians. I want you to see this, how God looks at it, and what he tells us we are, and then he tells us to be what he already has said that we are. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 3. He says, you died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. He says, you died. Look at verse 3. Put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Philippians died, yes, that is sufficient. But practically, he wants us to live out what we are positionally. Now, look down at verse 10. It says, in verse 9, you put off the old man, and you have put on the new man. All right. Look at verse 12. Put on, therefore, as God's elect, holy and beloved, a heart of, you say, I see. So turn back now to Zechariah. Here is one who at first is pictured in filthy clothing, outward, and inside he is just as filthy. But now, positionally,
he has clean outwardly. We died before.
God has put to death. Practically, we have to live on earth what we are positionally in Christ. I mention that because actually, Joshua, according to what Christ says, has been cleansed, his iniquity has been taken away, so that means that on the inside, he is clean, accepted, and outwardly, he has on the proper garment. But, just as in Colossians, it says, you died, it says, reckon yourselves to be dead unto sin in Romans, and it says, put to death, therefore. Alright, now, you can understand verse 7.
Thus saith the Lord of hosts, he's speaking to Joshua as an individual now.
If thou wilt walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my
charge, then thou also shalt judge my house, and shalt also keep my courts.
And I will give thee a place of access among thee that stand by. We see what he is positionally. We see his pictured clothing and clean garments. But now God says, what you are pictured as, ideally, I want you to live out. For this reason, there are those who were God's priests, high priests, and other priests who carried on
the God,
but they did it as drudgery,
and they said,
for weariness it is, and they would snuff at the Lord's table, all of these things. They were carrying out God's work, but their heart wasn't in it.
So what can happen is that you can have a true Christian who is white on the inside and outwardly.
He has on clean clothing, but God has given these expectations. It says, and say, in Colossians it says, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry of this thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. He can say to Timothy, that Paul already says, I'm convinced that there is genuine faith in you. He says, neglect not the gift that is in me. So, what we are, at times we have to be exhorted to live up to what we are, and to ideally represent before the world all the things that God says we are. So, look now at verse 7. Here is Joshua, and Joshua is one who came back with the captivity. He's one whom God has cleansed, put on clean garments.
Yes.
The Lord says, I want something more than just lip service, just carrying out in a mechanical way my functions. Look at verse 7. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, if thou wilt walk in my ways. Now, that is his personal holiness. And if thou wilt keep my charge, that is his official obedience. If you walk in God's ways, that is his exhortation as a personal individual. You have to walk in my ways, and then if you will keep my charge.
If God's charge is to carry out all
of the ritual
and all of the responsibilities set forth in the book of Exodus
and Leviticus,
all of these responsibilities were laid
on Aaron, the high priest, and his son, and then later,
you have
Eleazar, the high priest,
and then you have Paul.
Zadok all along, and so God is saying to this high priest now, he says, if you will walk in my ways,
and if you will keep my charge,
he wants reality.
Yes. He does not want priests
as a whole
who were priests,
but they did not walk in God's ways, and they did not keep God's court, and they did not judge God's house. But the Lord said, I want you to do it. And if you do what I tell you, if you will walk in my ways and keep my charge, then he makes him this promise. He says, then you shall judge my house, and you shall keep my court, and I will give thee a place of access among these that stand by.
Because there are some
such as Eli that had a pronouncement from God that he was not going to continue in the priesthood, and his sons were not going to continue in the priesthood. God would not make such promises, but he promises to Joshua, this high priest of the returned remnant. He said, if you will walk in my ways, that is your moral responsibility. Not being priest and to behave as Aaron did, to make a golden calf. He said, if you will walk in my ways, that's what I want you to do. And if you will keep my charge, all of the rituals that I placed upon you, the responsibility, if you will do that, then God says, I will be behind you, and I will encourage you, and I will assist you in doing these things, in judging my house, in keeping my court, and I will give you a place of access among these that stand by. All right, let's take a moment just what is meant here. If you will, in reality, walk before me righteously, and if you will carry out these rituals, if you will serve me in spirit and in truth, if you will do that, then there will be a genuine carrying out of these other responsibilities. He says, I will give thee
judge my house. I can only tell you what I believe.
Jesus means. The word house can mean the entire nation of Israel. It says, Moses was faithful and of God's house. That means among the children of Israel. But also God's house is his temple. And I take it that that is what he's speaking of here. He says, then you shall judge my house. What does that mean? It means this, that the priesthood has ever so many responsibilities. I will tell you some of them rather than turn to them. They have to discern between the clean and the unclean. They have to decide about the sicknesses among the children of Israel.
When decisions came up, there's about the right and wrong.
Boundaries. Who owns this property?
Whether something was stolen. All these decisions
have to be made.
Well,
if you will do what I told you to do, then you shall be the one who judges my house. All of these things associated with the high priest and the house of God. He said, you shall judge my house. Think of that great responsibility. I think of it today when questions arise among the people of God, and then there are supposed to be elders who give answers to those that have these questions. In Joshua's day, the priest was the one who was to give the answers. He decided what was clean and unclean. He told what animals were accepted, were to be rejected. He is the one that could judge God's house. And this, he said, you will keep my court. Let me give you the illustration. You will find that that wicked king
swore
a great oath.
What?
He sent back to his high priest, and he said, now I want you to change the court of the Lord. I want you to take the brazen altar, and I want you to set it to the side, and I want you to put in a prominent place this heathen altar. And the high priest did it. He did exactly what the king said. He made up the altar the way he wanted it. He put it the way he wanted to, and he would not keep the court of the Lord. He violated the court of the Lord.
But God said, question,
and at the same time, you are to decide what comes in the court, what is done in the court. And so take a quick break on politics. The personal problems that arise among men, and also the spiritual questions
that arise. And so
the court lies in that case. In one sense, we should commend the priest in Christ's day. When he was teaching in the temple, they came to him and they said, by what authority doest thou these things? You remember, he was teaching, and they wanted to know his authority for that. And at the same time, when he looked in the temple, and it was filled with the animals and the doves and the money changers, and the Lord Jesus cleansed the court of God. And they wanted to know by what authority he did that. Well, understand that the priest were the ones who have the right to keep God's court. Now, they have no right to challenge the Lord Jesus, but they have understood just who he was. He was the Son of the Father, because it says in the Psalm, the zeal of thy house hath eaten me up. So what the priests should have done themselves, they failed to do. They did not keep the court of the Lord. Now, they pretended to. It would have been an excellent thing if a false teacher had been in the court preaching false doctrine had they come and been with him wrong. But what happened is that they were keeping the court according to their own liking. And when the Lord Jesus came and preached the truth of God, they wanted to keep him out. But they had no way to silence our Savior. He knew who he was, and he knew the message that he had came from God. One other thing. The Lord Jesus not only drove out the money changers, but just at the end of his ministry, the people would take a shortcut through the temple, and the sacrilege religious way, having no reverence for this holy place of God. He forbade it. He would not let them take a vessel to the court of the Lord. Why? Because what the priest should have been doing, they failed to do. They had become lax, and so many changes had come in, and people were desecrating the court of the Lord by carrying vessels through it, not entering it with reverence, not entering it to worship the Lord, to be near the Lord, but it was just an ordinary place, and thus instead of being holy, it was common. As God says, Joshua, what I'm going to do,
if you will walk in my ways and keep my charge, then indeed, what you are by birth, and what you are in an outward sense,
you will actually judge and you will keep. You will judge my house and you will keep my court. And this is the promise of God to you down here. Now, notice, he said, you will judge my house, these are the decisions on earth, and you will keep my court.
The temple of God. You see that this next promise too, because it's a remarkable thing. And I will give thee a place of access.
And what it literally says is places to go. I'll tell you about that in a moment. But I will give you places to go
among
these that stand by. Now there are two groups that stand by. There are those that stand by in the presence of God, and there are those other priests that are with Joshua. Both of them are noted. It says concerning Joshua, those that sit before thee, so here is Joshua, and his ascendant priest, he's the high priest, and the other descendants of Aaron, they also are priests, and they sit before him. But we have God and those that stand before God. And God said this, you shall not only have authority and power on earth in my house and among my people, he said, but you will actually have access to come in and out among the angels of God. Now think of that great promise made to this man. You remember it says in Matthew 18 about their
angels who always behold the face of my Father, who is in heaven. There is a promise to this earthly priest that he not only shall
have authority and power on earth, but God is hinting here that he tells us fully now can be done by us who are Christians. We can come boldly to the throne of grace. It says, now, you can come, you have access among the angels that surround me. You may come in and you may come out. You have access in heaven. Now, all you have to do is this, to walk in God's way and keep God's charge.
What does it mean? Something like this.
It says concerning Ezra. Ezra had set his heart to seek the
God looked at Joshua and the priest, and he says, you are
are sure to look at me, turn back to Isaiah 8. Don't do the good things to it. But turn to Isaiah chapter 8. And verse 18. This is so easy to be and the Lord of Heaven's clothes begins to make the promise. He told Isaiah about having children, and he had two children. He had Shur Jashub and Machir Shalom Hashbaya. This was Isaiah, his children. And then it says in verse 18. Behold, I and the children, that the Lord has given me as your sign and your wonders in Israel, and another hope in front of the mountain. Here is a father and his children. They're not just a father and children alone, but they are for a sign. Now, what sign are they? Is your gift? Their name. Your name has and the interpretation of those names are your seated, the faces, the people on things that are going to occur in the near future because of the children of Israel. And let me see if I can give you the exact word that are here. Yes, it says. It says, the three faces, the spoil, seated, and the fear is Isaiah. And the name of the spirit will be better, and they are the sign. All right. Now do not forget the Lord. You have a father and his son, and their sign, as the coming will be happening in the future, and in that matter, the verse 8, hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, the high and holy, for they are men that are not
who are of whom? All right. He is not servant,
When you say hi, you are both. And hi, and you are both. So, even all of you who are not careful, you will be very negative.
In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the land shall be excellent and comely for them that are of speech of
Israel.
Now, we have over and over again the word, and for us as it were, to the millennial period, in that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful. We'll find in chapter 53 that when they look upon that branch, there is no beauty in him that they should desire him. But in the coming days, that branch is going to be beautiful. I just want to read these with you now. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 23. Now this is the same word in the Hebrew. Jeremiah 23. And look at verse 5. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king, and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land.
For this day Judah shall be saved, and Israel
shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called Jehovah Pitenu, the Lord our righteousness. Another designation of the deity of the Lord Jesus. And look at verse 14. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will perform that good word which I have spoken concerning the house of Israel and concerning the house of Judah. In those days and at that time will I cause a branch of righteousness that grew up unto David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. You see, again, the same thing. Here is the branch, the Lord Jesus, who is the branch. Now, turn back to Zechariah. And concerning Christ as the branch, look at verse 12 of chapter 6. We've seen the reference in chapter 3. Now, chapter 12 and verse 6. Speak unto him, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, behold, the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. Alright. Here you have the branch. And whenever in the scripture you have the Lord Jesus reigning in righteousness, here you have Judah, and here you have Israel being saved, and dwelling safely. And there is oneness between the northern kingdoms and southern kingdoms. It is always the millennial period. And so here is the branch, and that is one of its designations. He is my servant, and he is that servant, for his name will